right? Lord, ever leading you somewhere and you think, Lord, where are you taking me? What is the purpose of where we're going? And you just trust the Lord and follow him and he'll go with you all the way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 21. Hebrews 10 and verse number 21. Thank you for being in church tonight. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10 and verse number 21, and we'll read down to verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 21, and it says, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Aren't you thankful that God is faithful? Amen. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And that day is approaching sooner and sooner every day. We are one day closer to heaven, one day closer to the Lord's return. It is coming soon. We're going to look at this tonight. What does the Bible say about the Lord's Day, about meeting on Sundays, looking at what the Bible says on a number of subjects? This passage here talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, in this day and age, there is quite a forsaking of the house of God, and it's sad to see. 20% of Americans attend church every week. Isn't that sad? I go to church on Sunday mornings, and I think, where is everyone else going today? I can't imagine not going to church on Sunday. I can imagine not being in the house of God other than being sick. I was sick one time on Super Bowl Sunday. As a man, that's a mistake. Not that I chose it, but you get razzed. Guys don't comfort very well. When someone's down, we get on their case pretty good in a friendly manner. And I almost was this past year, and I thought, Lord, I can't be sick on another Super Bowl Sunday as a pastor. That looks really bad. It wasn't my team playing, so I didn't really have rooting interest in it. But 20% of Americans go to church every week. 41% of Americans attend church monthly, just once a month. 50% of Americans seldom or never attend church. Over 50% seldom or never go to the house of God. And what a sad day where our churches are empty and the parks are full and the lakes are full and the baseball fields are full. People worshiping everything else but God. And the Lord's Day is not a sacred day anymore to many. It's not. It's not a sacred day to many. It's just another day. And to many, it's really just a day of fun and a day to be with family, or another day to work or to rest, whatever it may be. But what does the Bible say about the Lord's Day, about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? The Bible says, as the manner of some is. It doesn't matter what the some are doing, what the majority are doing, but we should still follow the Lord no matter what the popular thing may be to do. And so what does the Bible say about the Lord's Day? Is the Lord's Day Saturday or Sunday? Right? That's a confusing topic for some, and for some that meet on Saturday and some on Sundays. What does the Bible say about that? We'll look at that tonight. I don't think that you don't have a conviction. I would believe that you have a conviction about going to church on Sunday if you're here on a Wednesday night. So I'm a little bit appreciative of the choir tonight, but I want to encourage you with these thoughts tonight. But in many ways, church services are being dropped, and it's just, you know, kind of get in for a quick service and get it done for the week, and Sunday night services are being booted out, and Sunday school hours and midweek services, and there's a lot of less and less of church today, and there should be more. But many times we can't fit God and church around our busy schedules, and so everything else gets first, and then the Lord gets the last of that. For many, Sundays are just another day to go to the lake or do some yard work, take a day trip. But Sunday is the Lord's Day. Amen? It's the Lord's Day. The only time the Lord's Day is mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Revelation. If I can find it in my notes, it's down here a bit. In Revelation 1:10, it says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a great trumpet." And we see the Lord's Day mentioned once, and I think of Sunday as it's the Lord's Day. God has given us the other 6 days of the week to labor and to take care of the things that we have to do, but there's a day that we set aside for God. Now, every day should be the Lord's Day. Let me give you that. It shouldn't be this is God's day and the rest is mine. But this day is simply dedicated fully for God. And not just a little bit for the Lord, it's all of God's day. And so let's look at the subject today about what does it mean for the Lord's day. If you turn in your Bibles back to Exodus chapter 20, we'll look at one of the Ten Commandments as we look at the Lord's day, and here referenced as the Sabbath day. This Sabbath day was a command for the Jewish people, and the word Sabbath is a day of rest. And this Sabbath, this day of rest, was a remembrance for the day that the Lord brought them out of Egypt. But let's look at what the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 8. And we can get some truths from these verses, and we'll apply it along with a few other scriptures as to what is the Sabbath day as opposed to the Lord's day on Sunday for our New Testament church and what that means for us. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." I don't know if I prayed as I came to preach. Why don't we pray again? If so, we'll get a double blessing if I did before. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Thank you for the time to open up the Word of God, to get truths from you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts and work and encourage and challenge us, maybe with a belief and conviction we already have to be stronger, maybe to have better understanding of what the Word of God says. Please speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord gave the Israelites these Ten Commandments, and this fourth commandment, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep the Sabbath day holy for the Lord. And he gives them an instruction. He says, in 6 days the Lord created the world, and he spoke the world into existence, and on the seventh day he rested. Not because he was tired, but he rested that seventh day as an example for us to follow. And for the Old Testament Christians, for the Jewish people, this Sabbath was a day of rest for them, a day of remembrance and a day for the Lord. The seventh day, you have the Jewish people that still will take the seventh day on Saturday, and they'll take that day as their day to go to church for Jewish people, or Seventh-day Adventists. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ came, and Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and he ruffled a lot of feathers, so to say, right? And the religious people were probably the greatest critics of Jesus Christ, weren't they? They were always trying to tell the perfect Savior how good they were and how wrong the Savior was. And different things that Jesus would do, but one of the main things that he would do is he would heal on the Sabbath day. And he would heal on that seventh day of the week. And he would say, he would ask him, is it unlawful to heal someone on the Sabbath day? You know, he would give him examples. If your ox has fallen into a ditch, would you not help it out? The disciples at one point, they gathered corn on the Sabbath day. And man, they were all up in arms about that. And Jesus Christ, in a way, was showing them that this Sabbath day was going to become this Sunday, this first day of the week of our day to meet for the Lord. The Sabbath was an Old Testament principle, again, for the Jewish people. As a New Testament Christian, we are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus Christ did not do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. But he gave a new commandment for us. So why do we meet on Sunday, on the first day of the week? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1. We'll turn to a number of passages here. And the first reason is this, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. The resurrection is what set apart our faith from any other religion. Amen? The resurrection is what set aside our God from any other God. It was a day unlike any other day, and it set apart this first day of the week. In Matthew chapter 28, and all the Gospels, it mentions this. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Jesus Christ rose from the grave on this first day of the week, signifying this would be the Lord's Day. The New Testament church would meet on the first day of the week. Turn over to John chapter 20 and verse number 19. It mentions this in a few passages. If you know your scriptures in the book of Acts, they not only met on the first day of the week, they met every day of the week. So we're going to take a vote that we now meet in church every day of the week, moving here forward. There was no first or second or an amen or a cheer for that. But they met every day. But in John chapter 20 and verse number 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. The disciples, as they gathered together this first day of the week, and Jesus Christ came and he met with them. In the book of Acts, we see in a couple of different passages, I won't have you turn there, but in Acts chapter 20, you're welcome to. In Acts 20, verse number 7, the disciples came together for preaching on the first day of the week. Remember the passage where Paul was long-winded preaching? You see a few of those, heard of a few. We're not long-winded here, but in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, amen, for the gathering for food, and Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We are not having watch night services until midnight. If the Lord decides to do that, we'll follow the Lord with that. But Paul was long-winded preaching, the Bible says, on the first day of the week, and there was Eutychus, and he was in the window up there, and the young man fell asleep. Now, before you judge the young man for falling asleep for the preaching until midnight, most people can't make it till noon on Sunday without falling asleep, or through the singing, or the prayer. But he fell down dead, and God, through the Apostle Paul, helped to raise him back to life. But the disciples met on the first day of the week. Paul was preaching here on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2. If you would take a moment and turn there, testing your Bible book memorization. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we'll look at verse number 1 and then get to verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So Paul was giving a challenge to the churches of Galatia about how they should act or how they should order. In verse 2 it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so the commandment for the church was to give to tithe on the first day of the week, to bring their tithes to the storehouse, the first day of the week that God had given to them. So I think we can see that very clearly in the New Testament, that God has set aside Sunday, this first day of the week, for us to gather together in the house of the Lord. So what are we supposed to do with the Lord's Day? Again, many times people think, well, I've been busy all week, I need a day to stay home and rest. Yes, I believe everyone needs a day to rest, but not on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day. Find another day to rest. I'm too busy to go to church. I have too many other things going on. If we have too many things going on for God, we have too many things going on. Then if we're too busy for God, we are simply too busy. And we have a busy society where, I don't know about you, but we fill up our time and schedule with a lot of things. A lot of times there's a lot of things that aren't necessary when it comes to the work of God and the commandment of God. Some would say this, well, I can go to church at other times. That doesn't have to be on Sunday. I can go other days, other times. I can watch online. Now, for those that can't get here, and you can watch online for that, praise the Lord. For those that can get here, get to church. Amen? Get to church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. You can't assemble together at home watching online. One of the most frustrating things of the pandemic, I hate even talking about it, is sitting at church and sitting at home watching church online. It wasn't the same, especially with children. I didn't get any preaching for a few months. We didn't hear a whole lot of preaching during those times. with a new baby coming home. But I can watch online. That's not assembling of ourselves together. That's watching online. Watching TV preachers and YouTube preachers and watching online is not the same as going to church. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25 that we should assemble ourselves together. The Bible says that we should be exhorting one another. You can't exhort one another being at home. You can exhort and encourage one another being in the house of God. We should assemble together. We should exhort one another. And the Bible says so much the what? The more. You think, do we have to go to church again? Do we have to go to church? I remember as a boy, we were going to churches, and they weren't good churches before we got saved and all that. And I distinctly remember Saturday night, Sunday mornings, we had the argument through the house. I don't know if it was an argument or the discussion. Are we going to church today? Are we not going to church today? And I don't know who won and how we win or whatnot. Are we going to go to church? But I remember we got a good Bible preaching Baptist church, and our family got saved and baptized. There was never that argument. There was never that discussion. We were going to church. The assembling of ourselves together, so much the more. And it should be more and more, the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, because the Lord's return is coming soon. We shouldn't be doing less for God as the day is approaching. We should be doing more for God as the day is approaching. Wouldn't that be great to be in church when Jesus Christ comes? Wouldn't that be great? Singing Amazing Grace or Holy, 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 or maybe having a time of prayer or one last soul being saved and God calls us home. That'd be disappointing to be skipping out on the things of God when Jesus Christ returns. Wouldn't that? Walking away from God and not living for God and not being where we're supposed to be. The Lord's return is coming soon. We should be in the house of God. I want to give you some practical points. Why we need church. Now, you're here on Wednesday night, and you're here because you know this, but I'm going to preach to the choir, so to say, for a little bit. Why do we need to be in the house of God so much the more as we see the day approaching? Because we need the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Amen? We, myself included, need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Sometimes when people leave, they say, that was a great message. I needed it. And I try to always tell them this, well, I needed it first before you needed it. That's why the Lord gave me the message or directed me there. But I need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's sad sometimes we think we've become too spiritual for church. Like we've gotten too much Bible, I'm too right with God, or I'm too good for church. No, I need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I understand the Bible says through the foolishness of preaching, because God uses a sinner to preach the Word of God, a perfect book. But we need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We were at the rescue mission last night, and Brother Drew was preaching through different passages of the Lord's crucifixion and the soldier at the end that said, truly, this is the Son of God. And as we were driving home, I was talking to Joel, and I said, isn't it amazing how every time you go through a passage you've read before, you've heard preached before, and you thought, man, that's a great truth there. I don't know if I ever saw a truth there. And there was different passages we read through. Why? Because I need the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I've heard the preaching on the crucifixion probably thousands of times easily, but there's something that God puts in there just for me for that day to encourage me, to challenge me. We need the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Whether you're the teacher or you're the preacher or you're the listener, we all need the Word of God more and more as we see the day approaching. We need more of God's Word in our life, not less. So we need the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's why we have a church. Not just for breaking of bread, although I'm good with the fellowships. Had a great fellowship time on Sunday. But we need to gather together for the preaching of God's Word. Many churches have missed that point of the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. It's almost like the Bible's the side note for the show. People come for the show and the waving of the hands and the jumping around, and then you're like, where's the Bible there? You don't see anything about the Bible in those churches. It's all about the singing and the concert kind of situation. Now, we need the preaching and teaching of God's Word in my life is what I need. Number two, Why do we come in the house of God? And we could add a number of points here, but to sing praises to the Lord. There's something wonderful about getting together with other believers and singing together to the Lord. Isn't that great? Now, you can sing anywhere, everywhere to the Lord, and the Lord hears that. But there's something special about believers coming together to sing praises to God. You know, it's great. The Bible says that to bring a joyful noise to the Lord. It doesn't have to be a joyful sound, but it can be a joyful noise. And when you get together and you sing and you just let it fly, you get in that song and let God speak to your heart and you sing out to God, there's something special about believers coming together and singing to God. It doesn't matter to me if it's a special. I can't help if I know the song at all or if I've even learned it through the verses to start singing along with them. I try to do it quiet, and I definitely try to make sure my mic is off so I'm not being mic'd up for you to hear that. If it's an offertory, I can't help but I'm trying to sing along with it because there should be a song in our heart when we come to church. Amen? We shouldn't have to revive the dead when we get to church. We should come prayed up. Amen? God, speak to my heart as I'm coming to church. Not, man, I just got off work and I'm here. Praise the Lord for that. Take a moment and say, God, would you help my heart and my spirit to get right because there's something I need from church tonight. Amen? And so we need to be singing praises together to the Lord. Whether it's the choir, the offertory, special music, congregational music, the music played in between services, just sing to the Lord. The Lord is blessed, and he inhabits the praises of His children. When we sing and we praise God, God meets there. Let's never go through the motions as a church of just, you know, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, I wonder what I'm going to eat when I get home. And let's sit, when you're, oh Lord my God, think about that, when I in awesome wonder, and you start singing about God, think about what the Lord is doing. God works in your heart. You said, I've sung the song before. Sing it again. It's still good. Amen? We come together and gather together as a church, and I didn't put this in my point, but it's good. I don't know how I missed it, to come to pray together. To pray together. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I love praying together as a church. That should be a regular habit where you find someone and say, would you pray with me about this? And not in a gossiping manner. To someone has a prayer need that I need to share with you. Don't bring a prayer need and gossip in the form of a prayer need, all right? But come in together and say, can we pray together for this need? And as we give our prayer needs, we should bring those home and pray for one another and bring the needs to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we should pray together as a church. It's one of the wonderful parts about a church family that we pray together for each other's needs. That if someone is hurting, we're all hurting for that person. Someone has a lost loved one, we're praying for that lost loved one together. If that's your family member, you're burdened for that person. I hope you are. We should be burdened for that other relative as well. That we come together and we'd pray together. Another reason we come together to church is to have fellowship with other believers. I'm always encouraged when I come to church. And you get to be together with other Christians. Maybe you've been all day at work with non-Christians. In a non-Christian environment, you can come to the house of God. We're not perfect people, but you come together and you get to sing and you get to be with other believers and you're not worrying about someone telling bad jokes or saying bad words or being a ungodly environment. You get to come in the house of God and have fellowship with other believers. And that's an encouragement to come to rub shoulders together, to spend time together with other believers. I encourage you, when you come to church, I know for some you can't health-wise do this, but go and talk to other people, right? Go and find other Christians in church that are on the other side of the auditorium or that come in at a different time or a different door than you or their kids are in different classes and go talk to them and ask them about their day, ask them about their life and get to know them. Too many times, and I'm not trying to turn this to a sad note, but someone passes away and you think, oh, I wish I got to talk to them more. Well, they've been sitting there in that seat for many years, and sometimes we don't go out of our way to go and say hi to them or see how they're doing or check up on them. We get to have fellowship with other believers. It's another reason we come to church, so that we can bring the lost to Christ. Amen? And that's the number one goal and purpose of a church, is to bring the lost to Christ. Now, I'm thankful that we can bring the gospel everywhere. Bring a track with you. Have a witness on your mouth everywhere that you go. And we were at Chick-fil-A today. Charlotte came into work with me today, so it was a non-work day. We went to the gym, and we're helping with Vacation Bible School setup, which is a plug for we need help with Vacation Bible School setup as well. And so it was just us. So we went to go and get some food, and went to Chick-fil-A, and so I gave them some invitations. And I had an I Love America Sunday flyer, not a regular track. So I said, we had a big day this last Sunday, but I want to encourage you to come. And gave her a Vacation Bible School flyer, and she said, thank you for that. She said, I'm going to share it with everyone inside. I was like, praise the Lord. It's an opportunity to bring the lost to church. To find a neighbor, a relative, or a neighbor kid and encourage them to come on the bus or to drive in and to say, hey, would you come and sit with me in church? And then pray that God speaks to their heart. You should witness to them, pray for them, but bring them to church so they can hear the gospel as well. It's a place for the lost to come. What's another reason we come to church? Number six, I had number five, but number six here because I added a point, was to serve the Lord. A place where we can come to church where we get to serve the Lord. I love getting to serve at church. I love getting to serve. I don't come to be served, and I'm thankful when people do serve, me or my family or others, but I come to serve. I can't help but try to find something to do, something to clean up, or I don't know how much I can fix, or someone to talk to or someone to help. Come to church to serve others. Church is for me. God to speak to my heart, but church is about others. You see visitors that come to church, go and introduce yourself to them and welcome them. And we had a whole host of visitors on Sunday morning, and that was a blessing. Go in and find someone to talk to. Find someone to serve, somewhere to help. We have so many ministries, every service, with workers all over the place. We need more servants and laborers in church, like right now. I'm not just saying that, we do. We need more laborers and servants like right now. We need to be a serving church, not just a sitting church. Now again, for those that can't do more than just come and sit in church, thank you for coming. But there's some that can barely come and just sit here, and they're still finding areas to serve. And they work their hardest to find an area and a ministry that they can be a part of. Find somewhere that you can invest in your church, that you can give. Not just one time, but weekly. You can serve in many ways, even by praying, by greeting people, by bringing someone with you. But let's be a serving church. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It shouldn't be a question when it's time for church of where am I going to be? Let's be in the house of God. Amen? Let's be in the house of God, but not just here, but let's be prayed up when we come to church. Let's be prayed up. Let's come with a song in our heart. Let's come with a prayer for someone else that maybe is struggling, or someone praying that someone else will be in church that maybe has been missing or struggling. And let's come looking to bring someone with us. Let's come to church looking to serve others. And there's ownership when you come that way. If you come that way looking, saying, God, speak to my heart. I'm bringing someone with me and I'm praying. When you come to church, you can't help but for God to speak to your heart, right? You can't help but for God to do a work in your heart when we come to the house of God. I love Shasta Baptist Church. I love coming to church. I love being here. I love being with the people of God. Let's make sure we come with the right spirit. Let's come with the right heart. And let's come ready for God to speak to our hearts tonight. And let's pray, and we'll take an offering in a moment. We thank you, Lord, for the night. We thank you for the house of God that you